Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Guten Tag, Herr Foodies. I am your host, Kyle Reinfried, and I am actually in Europe right now. I was in Munich for the Oktoberfest, but now I'm actually in Ireland. Yes, Ireland. I was actually over in Europe for last week's episode with Chris and Siobhan. Well, I wasn't there for it. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking with an accent. But I was over here last week. And first, I was in Amsterdam. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to do a Dutch accent for you. That should be left for Mike Myers in Goldmember 3, Deep Cut. Anywho, I was first in Amsterdam. And I'm ridiculous. I'm recording all this before I even go away. So I'm just, hopefully I am there right now. I don't know where else I would be. But I think that if you're looking at Instagram, you should be seeing some delightful photos of, first, food in Amsterdam and then, Munich. Hopefully, drinking plenty of Bavarian beer and, eating, pig knuckles and strudel and, spätzle and all the knackwurst, bratwurst, weisswurst. Sorry, more accent again just comes out. Anywho. I love the food over here, and I love the people. I say that because I've already been there, so hopefully I'm enjoying it as much, if not even more, this time around. But welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. We're serving up a delectable episode today of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And joining me is Stephanie of Yeah Food Beer. That's her Instagram, Twitter, Facebook handle. We have a great conversation. This is the first animated film we'll be covering. There aren't a crazy amount, of course. Like, I feel like the end-all be-all animated food film is Ratatouille, but this is a great movie, and I hadn't watched in a while, and it's incredibly funny. I think we enjoy talking about it, and of course we have our normal food fair talk and famous food scene, and she has so many great answers for the gut instinct segment. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it. Prost, I forget what they, something like cilantro, cilante, I don't know, that's how the Irish say it, but enjoy. So what did I just experience with you before? Well, first of all, Stephanie, thank you very much for coming on Foodie Films.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I've got Stephanie of Yeah Food Beer. That is her Instagram handle. And do we have any other social media that we use, Yeah Food Beer?
I'm also Yeah Food Beer on Twitter and Facebook.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so you were kind enough not only to, come on the podcast, but you said, today we're recording and it's National Cheeseburger Day.
It is National Cheeseburger Day, and there was no way that I was letting you go off without not having a cheeseburger.
Well, thank you very much.
Cheeseburgers were had.
So, cheeseburgers were had and some ice cream was had as well. See, run me through, what did I just experience with you in the world? Like, shine some light into this world of food, Instagramming, and what you do, and just how that all worked.
Yeah, so, In terms of like what happened today, today was National Cheeseburger Day. Mm-hmm. I don't know who decided it, but every day is some sort of weirdo holiday. So a lot of the times, you know, if it's something that a restaurant can kind of, you know, celebrate or, you know, show off a certain signature dish, then they'll do it. There's a new restaurant slash bar that just opened up in Kips Bay, and their kind of like thing is like roadside type burgers, like thinner patties. Mm-hmm. They're trying to move away from like the really thick, sexy, Instagrammable burgers and more of like the simple West Coast California style. Yeah. So for National Cheeseburger Day, they had a couple of vloggers in to have some cheeseburgers with fries, super simple. They gave us some weird ginger cocktail, and they let us pick out beers, which made me very, very happy because it felt on brand. And it was a really good burger. I thought it was a good burger. Did you like your burger?
I liked my burger. You know, there was someone, a representative there, and mm-hmm. she was like, I want to ask you how it was.
She was the PR person. Okay. Yeah.
But I was just like, since I'm not, you know, sure I have this podcast, but I'm definitely not a food Instagrammer. I'm not a, you know, blogger. I'm not the best with words. That's great, because I'm speaking right now. It was really good. I wanted to say, I was like, I don't want this to sound like an insult. It's what you hope fast food would be.
Yes, I could see that.
You know, like, again, because it's a thinner patty.
It felt like elevated fast food because I feel like in my heart of hearts that it probably wasn't frozen and driven in on a truck.
No.
But, yeah. For a thin burger, it was almost pink inside.
Yeah, and if I was watching a McDonald's commercial or something like that, like that's what they look like they use, but then you go there and it's absolutely pitiful.
I completely agree.
Yeah, that was I did enjoy it, yeah.
Awesome. So we did that, and then earlier in the day, I had gotten a message from Tipsy Scoops, one of my favorite ice cream spots in the city, mm-hmm. that all of their ice cream is basically like close to about 5-6% alcohol. So I am all about it, and they had a new special this month, and they were across the street. So I was like, dessert. And then we photographed everything, and we tried it, and you know.
Yeah.
That was one day.
Strawberry rhubarb bourbon ice cream.
Bourbon ice cream, tough to go wrong with that.
So when did food become more than just like sitting down for a meal, like fulfilling your sustenance? You know, like when did it become like, oh, there's a larger world to it? And then what made you go like, and now I want to be a part of it?
So for me, it kind of started with photography. I used to do like a lot of music photography. And I used to go to a lot of shows every week, and I managed a band, and I was really kind of into that life. Lots of, like, the indie music scene in New York City, mm-hmm. I would say, like, early 2000s was when a lot was, like, really taking off. Bands like The Strokes really kind of started almost like a movement, it felt.
Yeah.
And the Lower East Side still had a lot of that kind of scrappy energy before a lot of people were, you know, pushed out of the apartments because everything got really expensive. And
before CBGB's closed.
Exactly. And Don Hills and all these really cool venues.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I always had a love for photography, and I was always the person in my friends group who was documenting everything. So I was going to shows at one point, like 4 to 5 days a week, and I was getting home at like 2 o'clock in the morning, often buzzed. I'd get up from my 9 to 5. And I feel like as I was getting older, it was really hard for me to continue doing that.
Sure.
So I kind of moved to shooting. You know, I was shooting some bands on the side. I did some portrait work. And then I just started taking pictures of food when I decided I was going to start a food blog. The blog didn't really last me more than like 3 months. They were really long. And I realized that, A, I don't really have the funds to go to these fancy restaurants that I would love to cover. No one wants to read about like the bodega on the corner. So until that became a cool thing, apparently.
Yeah.
But so I took a lot of like the blog posts that I had written. I didn't want them to just kind of die in the ether. So I copied and pasted them into Yelp, and I started Yelping.
Okay.
Then I became Yelp Elite, and I met a lot of like food loving people. And, you know, part of being, you know, continuing to be Yelp Elite is really having like a positive impact on the community, whether that's through you know, really good reviews, mm-hmm. really good photos, being able to really accurately represent your experience at a place and not doing it in a way that's like a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Yelpers have a bad rap, but we're not all like, you know, bad folks. So I did that for a while, and every once in a while I would really like a food photo, so I'd just slap it on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. Two people that I'm friends with that do not know each other independently of themselves came up to me and said, you should start a food Instagram because your Instagram, you know, your Instagram's starting to look like a food Instagram. So in the beginning I had asked a friend, you know, do you want to do this with me? You know, there was a lot of wishy-washy. I didn't really get a yes. And then I was kind of inspired one night after, like, Thanksgiving dinner. It was, like, maybe, like the last day of November or something. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to start this. And I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I decided to go with food and beer because I've always really loved craft beer. And I wanted to find a way to make myself stand apart from other Instagrammers on food.
That's got to be the tough thing. There are so many food Instagrams.
It is. It is. So it's really like, you know, how do you stand apart? How do you make yourself different? So for me, I've always liked puns. I've always liked dad jokes. So I put those in all my captions. That's definitely taken off. Now there's other people in New York City who like puns, but all could. The beer thing is still like something that I try to set aside. I feel like over the years, I've really just kind of, now I've been doing beer Sundays for the past while, because just beer does not get engagement, and I hate to sound like a slave to engagement, but, you know, it just is what it is. I feel like people are not that passionate about beer, and I've built like a really cute, like a really awesome community of people that I really like. I get a lot of really awesome messages for stuff that I post, so I've been really kind of focusing on beer, I'm sorry, on food, but I still, you know, I still work with beer and I work with wine and, you know, I'll drink anything basically that's not Jaeger. Yeah. Just end that there.
Perfect. And so, I mean, that, and I mean, that's how it is with your Instagram, but was it any time in like your, like as a child or in teenage years, like when did you become, were you always adventurous when it came to food? Did you just
Man, so when I was a child, I was really picky.
Oh, okay.
And not adventurous. My favorite foods were always mac and cheese, grilled cheese sandwiches, egg and cheese sandwiches, cheese egg omelets.
I feel there's a theme there.
Meat. I grew up with a lot of meat. I grew up in a very Latin household, so there was always bite, which is like steak, and pernil, which is pork. And obviously arroz con pollo and beans. And so like, you know, I was kind of like, my mom really tried so hard to get me to like diversify my palate. And she tried really hard to get me to eat vegetables and fruits. And she was wonderful and wonderfully patient. And I was just the child that was like, if it's green, it's not for me. I want to eat like dead animals and cheese. as I got older, I just started kind of discovering more things. And now I will eat a salad. And she looks at me and she's like, I can't believe you will eat a salad now. And I'm like, I know, but it has to be dark lettuce. I don't like iceberg lettuce. So there's little things that I'm still picky about. I feel like I kind of turned a corner around mid high school, early college. And that's when I was like, oh, wow, I like raw fish.
Yeah,
I like pink steak, because in Latin culture, your steak is properly cooked, all the way cooked. I don't want to even say properly. It's just almost overcooked always, which I get, because if you're like chopping it up for a taco, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I would love to see a medium rare super pink steak in a taco. But yeah, so I feel like I kind of got to get out of my comfort zone a bit, explore a bit. Through Instagram, I've eaten some very weird things. I tried something last year where I wasn't sure what it was, and it wasn't bad, but the texture felt a little off to me, and I asked someone very kindly, what am I eating? And it was pan-seared monkey brain.
I felt feel bad. Like that's something someone says to somebody beforehand, you're going to be eating this.
No.
You're like, you can just surprise someone with that meal?
Yep. I mean, it had the wrinkles of a brain. I was like, oh, no wonder that looked familiar. I was really hoping that you just magically got calamari all stuck together, weirdly. It was weird. I've also tried bull penis. That was not through Instagram. That was through the band I managed.
Okay.
They wanted to take me out as a thank you dinner. They know that I like meat and rice. We went to a Japanese restaurant, and they ordered me for me, and they were like, do you like it? Do you like it? Because they were all like older teenage boys. I was in like my young 20s, and like I felt like an adult because I was like doing a lot of stuff for their band, booking their tour and stuff. Uh-huh. And I cut into it, and I'm like, oh, this is so delicious. And they all found it really just immaturely hilarious because I was eating an animal's penis. I ate the whole thing. Very much enjoyed it. So I like bull penis. It was at Kenka in St. Mark's Place. Go. It was great.
I've had bull testicles, but not bull penis. So I've seen get the whole
them.
Package.
I've seen the testicles. I'm just like, I don't know. Not my thing. I've seen animal eyeballs. I just don't think I'm ready.
I've had pig innards. I'm not into it. I've had pig eyeballs. I tried Rocky Mountain oyster jerky, which was not good.
Ooh.
Sounds
weird.
Yeah. What? So I mean, and you get to go to some pretty cool like events through your Instagram account. What do you have any favorite that you've been to?
Events or like restaurants?
But I mean, one or the other.
Event-wise, I always love a good craft beer festival. Always a good time. You always meet really cool people. It's just always a really awesome experience. Lobster Festival by Tasting Table this year was really awesome. It was so much lobster. I love lobster. Restaurants. Primal Cut is one of probably one of my favorite, just experience-wise. I've been there 4 times. It's connected to Sapphire, the strip club. So you eat, and you get served by someone who probably didn't eat what you're eating, and then you get to go to the strip club, and you're just like, hey, I ate, now I'm watching people. And it's just fun. Super fun. I might have done 1 or 2 Valentines there with my husband. It's fun. So that place is cool. What else? I mean, I feel like New York City has so many awesome experiences. It's really hard to kind of pick and choose favorites.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, just like a restaurant that you've just recently been wowed by?
That's a good question. Maybe not recently. I would say one of the steakhouses in New York that has completely wowed me, even though it's been a while since I've been there, but I almost compare almost everyone to them. 212 Steakhouse.
212.
I really love. Greenwich Steakhouse was also really, really good. In Astoria, I love Mom's Astoria. I practically live there. Yes, they're across the street from my house, and they sell mac and cheese, and I love it. And Halsey's next door to it is great. Great beer list. I'm a beer girl. What other restaurants in Manhattan? My buddy Carl's Balls, he's not a restaurant, but he's kind of like a traveling restaurant. He does a lot of like street fairs and food festivals. Great takoyaki. Which are like octopus balls. They're Japanese cuisine.
Yeah, you were telling me about those earlier. Mm-hmm. I gotta try those.
Super good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like nothing's coming to mind.
Well, the listeners can obviously always go to your Instagram
page. Oh, actually, you know what?
And
Flip and Toss had a pizza burger. And I had that recently. And I was a little afraid that was going to be one of those things that's like made for Instagram.
Yeah.
But doesn't taste so good in real life. Nope. Pizza burger was bomb. Yes. Beef, tomato sauce, lots of melted mozzarella, pepperonis. It does work. It's so good.
What kind of bun was it on? Something like that, I feel like.
The bun felt like a little personal pizza pie.
Oh.
So it wasn't really like a bun. It wasn't too thick. It was just, I mean, I took a bite and
that?
It was amazing. Flip and Toss in the West Village.
All right.
Also home of pizza, mac and cheese, burrata, prosciutto mac. They have a burrata burger. I mean, it's really hard to mess up there. I don't think they're capable of cooking anything bad.
Sounds like
they melt raclette cheese on french fries with bacon. I die.
You know what? I think with the film at hand today, I think they would, you know, the characters in the movie would be in big trouble with you, because I feel like you would just be like, I want this, I want that.
And you know, since they're all about meatballs, I will say, most recently, I was very wowed by meatballs at Zio Ristorante.
Oh.
Zio, I want to say it's on like 18th or 19th streets. It's close to Union Square. Really awesome Italian restaurant. And they do this like Meatball Monday thing. And they have like, they have vegetarian pesto.
Wow.
Really good chicken, beef, lamb.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I like their meatballs a lot.
Yeah, and you brought the meatballs. I mean, this is the film that we'll be highlighting today is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Woo! Surprise!
Came out in 2009. I've been covering a lot of movies like in this time period. This was almost like there was been Julie and Julia, then there was It's Complicated, just a lot of movies, and I just see them on the list, and they're all around like late 2000s, kind of around then, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
You've seen this movie.
I have.
Do you like this movie?
Yes.
I know it's not the movie that you wanted to dearly talk about. I need to. That movie is Spirited Away, right?
I do. I just think that the food in Spirited Away looks so stupid delicious. Like,
yeah.
It, everything just looks juicy and globby. It's shiny. And I wish I was in there, that movie, so I could eat all the things.
Well,
with the cute little, like, dust monsters. They're so cute.
Well, I mean, we haven't even gone through the whole podcast yet, but I know. Yeah. I would love to have you on again.
And if you ever want to do, like, The Little Mermaid, you know, there's not a whole lot of food in that movie,
for the famous food scene, I have people randomly select a scene, but maybe that day we'll cheat and we can talk about the French chef and that, you know, because that's a
And there's the scene where she lifts up her food and, you know, Sebastian has to run from one plate to another. That's moving food right there.
There we go.
I bet Sebastian would have been delicious, but he's a nice guy, so I'm glad he was, you know, able to live.
I couldn't eat a crab with that accent. How could you do that?
You boil it. Throw some Old Bay on that sucker, some butter, garlic.
But Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, this is the first animated film we're covering.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's it was a hit movie. It was and got really good ratings. It's directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They also directed 21 Jump Street, like both of those, 21 and 22, and the Lego Movie. They were almost done with the solo Star Wars movie, but then they got fired by Kathleen Kennedy and Ron Howard took over.
Oh, burn.
Because supposedly they like improvisation too much, and that just wasn't, you know, conducive towards a blockbuster of that
nature's
shooting schedule. But this is starring the voice talents of Bill Hader, recent Emmy winner for the show Barry.
Very nice.
Anna Faris, Bruce Campbell, James Caan, Andy Samberg, Mr. T. That's awesome.
All people I love, especially Bruce Campbell. So cool. Kind of hot.
Benjamin Bratt, Neil Patrick Harris.
It's a great cast.
It's a pretty solid cast right there. But this was... Did you ever read the book growing up?
I did not.
Neither did I. Actually, I you know, might have.
I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah, it's a book. So this is just in that category of... I think very successfully taking a childhood book and turning it into a feature film. But, I mean, what you see this movie, like, what comes to mind? I mean, it is just very childlike in nature, and it's about a, you know, we see a kid scientist, and then he grows up, and his father doesn't understand him.
And he's kind of always, he's always had, like, an obsession with, like, meteorology and weather.
Yeah.
And I mean, his goal is really, I feel like, to improve the world.
They live on this island. It's called Swallow Falls, and it's a tiny island in the Atlantic, and their main business was sardines. Mm-hmm. And then, as he says, the world found out that sardines are disgusting. Are sardines disgusting?
I think if you cook them correctly,
I think so, too.
I feel like, sardines and anchovies get a bad rap, but if you treat it well...
What is the difference?
I think sardines are thinner, darker, smaller.
Okay.
I really wouldn't be able to answer this question professionally. Yeah. I can point them out if I'm looking at them on a plate.
I
feel like they both just have a bad rap, but to me they're both like small and salty, and if you pair them with something that works, then it works.
There you go. But so now this island of Swallow Falls, all they're eating is anchovies there, and that's just, or sardines, and they're disgusted by it, and so he wants everyone to be happy, and that's what he's always trying to do. He as a kid, he invents spray on shoes and rat birds. I don't know what the point of inventing rat birds were, but tried to invent a flying car,
all sorts of weird things,
but he eventually creates this device that churns rainwater into food. So I mean, what Just like, what do you think about that? And like, what, when you're watching a movie like this, what comes to mind? Does it bring up?
I don't know. I'm probably gonna. My opinion's probably gonna be more on the adult side than the like
sure.
wondrous childlike type of reaction. I mean, there's two things, right? You know, like if this actually happened, it could be like a real bona fide, you know, trying to like find a cure for actual world hunger.
Uh-huh.
And you know, if we harnessed up something like that correctly, it could be something that could just absolutely be like just life changing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that part. And then there's the other part where if we couldn't harness this in a controlled environment and it really just started raining food, you know, people would die because like things like oranges and lemons from a certain, you know, speed are going to fall at a certain altitude that could fall on someone's face and crush their skull. You know, that would suck. And like, I can't imagine, you know, running to work one morning, you know, frazzled because I'm trying not to run late. And then I get, you know, smacked in the face by like turkey bacon. Like I could, you know, if we can't harness it, it like the streets would be gross. New York City would smell really bad.
Yeah.
Food would get rotten and like the sun and people driving and there'd be accidents and dear God. So there's, I mean, there's the perspective where if we could control it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it could be something that we could really use to improve the world. And then there's the other side where it's like, this could become Armageddon because we're all, you know, getting slapped by food and everyone's angry and car accidents and airplanes and the ocean's already polluted enough. Like, oh boy. So yeah, that's where I come from. I'm like, if this could be really, really good or really, really bad. I don't feel like there's a lot of gray.
There was no joy and wonder of it. There was just like.
I mean, it also depends on, you know, what's falling.
Yeah.
So, because well, I know at one point it's all sorts of things.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, hell no. There's no way you're going to survive like a watermelon falling on top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like raining Skittles, like in those Skittle commercials, I am here for it.
Then you
I
should,
love
yeah.
Skittles. I mean, our streets would get gross and that doesn't help the planes and the cars and the ocean, but I'd stand there with my mouth and probably just be like, these
taste
like,
the rainbow.
These delicious polluted sprinkles are so good.
Yeah, the first thing that it rains down is cheeseburgers, so appropriate.
Oh, but they would be so messy, and
yeah,
I'd be really
upset. Yeah, that's the
thing.
They start, like, at first, like, he sees, like, a pickle fall in the water, and there's, like,
I'd be like, excuse me, did anyone get a
yeah.
cheese?
But then he perfectly catches one, but then they're all over the place. So in the film, like, he ends up, like, scooping it all up, and they
right.
create mountain leftovers.
And what if, like, a bird poops on food on the way down?
Yeah.
And then birds would get hit. Oh, God. I feel like before
the mayhem.
Yeah, we need to find a way to control it.
You know what? The film does end up in this like disaster film territory, so you're not far off.
Yeah.
From, you know, like
they should
what
have
they,
a sequel where it's like
they do.
You know, oh, they do. I knew that.
I haven't seen it yet though, so it's okay. But I mean, I do like what this movie really covers. Like I said, it becomes a disaster movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like making fun of the news because Anna Faris's character of Sam Sparks, mm-hmm. she's supposed to be just
the hard-hitting, like, she's trying to be a hard-hitting journalist.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
but she has to play
like,
dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
And she then puts back, she does the reverse of like those of the high school, you know, she's all that mm-hmm. things where, you know, she puts the glasses on and puts the ponytail,
yeah.
you know, the hair back into a ponytail.
And that's really who she is, which
yeah.
is nice. And it's almost like social, like society commentary now, you
definitely.
Know?
So, I mean, they do that with like, I mean, they're really making fun of the news anchors and saying like, oh my God, who is she? Like, come back when you look better and all that.
Yeah.
It's making fun of small town politics with the Bruce Campbell's mayor who's awesome in this. Bruce Campbell's awesome in everything. It's shedding light into honestly even like immigration
mm-hmm.
from other, you know, like the it's her camera operator who's voiced by Benjamin Bratt. His name is Manny and he's from Guatemala. He's like, oh, he's a doctor in that country. He's
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, but I came here for better opportunities.
Right,
anyways,
right.
You know, camera operator.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a camera operator. It's a good job, but not as good as the doctor.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
And then he
I
can
mean,
also
that
be a
stuff
pilot.
Totally happens, you know?
Yeah. But that's, I mean, it's a kid's movie and it's talking about this stuff. It's also talking about food tourism.
Right,
and then,
right.
I mean, even then towards the end, parents and technology, because he's telling his dad to just move something from the email.
Right,
and
right.
You know, put it into, you know, from the computer into the email or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, they are covering some pretty big grounds.
Well, I feel like you definitely, I mean, even though it's a kid's movie, you need to entertain the parents that took the kids, right?
Yes.
So, you know, there's that.
It's something that I think, and then even like, so I mean, I wasn't a kid when this movie came
mm-hmm.
out. But I think if you're a kid when it came out,
you probably don't notice a lot of, like,
not noticing it, but then you get to appreciate it later on in life, mm-hmm. too. So that's pretty cool. This movie did come out in 3D. That probably would have been a pretty cool experience to see all the food falling at you.
That must have been pretty neat.
That makes me, did you ever go down to, like, Disney World and I think it was at the MGM, when it used to be MGM?
I've done Disney World. When I think of 3D, I always think of, like, it was like the haunted house, the ghost ride.
Yeah, the Tower of Terror. No, the other ghost ride.
The other one. Yeah. The Tower of Terror is super fun, but it's less like special effects.
Yeah.
It's more like the visceral, like fast movements. There's the haunted house one.
Yeah.
Which is really neat because they've got like all like the they use a lot of projections. And
that's
it's like,
scared me as a kid. Yeah,
I thought it was pretty neat.
I remember it was whatever. Now it's, I think it's Disney Studios. It used to be MGM, but they had a Muppet thing, and the Muppets used to throw pies at you.
Oh, so interesting.
So it was like one of those. Not just 3D. Then you felt like mist and I don't know,
right,
all that
right.
kind of stuff. Yeah. But there's just a lot of fun characters in the movie. I love the baby Brent, the Andy Samberg character.
Oh, so cute. Yeah.
Like I said, Mr. T. I'm going to play a clip right now, and I think just because we'll get to hear Bill Hader, Anna Faris, and Mr. T in this clip.
Perfect.
Like, why not? That's just a great one. So this is when Mr. T, or I should say whatever his character's name is, the cop, he wants to show that his son, that he loves his son, which his son knows every day. And that's just to show the juxtaposition between Bill Hader and his father, played by James Caan. But he wants there to be ice cream all around on his son's birthday. So this is that scene.
Happy birthday, son.
Dad?
This is your day. Go have fun.
I love you guys. You're awesome.
Love you too, son. Woo!
Yeah, cool.
Strawberry's my favorite.
I don't know, Cal. This doesn't look bad. I love you, son.
I know, Dad. You tell me every day.
Flynn, this is amazing. And designing the ice cream to accumulate into scoops, I don't know how you're gonna top this.
Maybe with hot fudge.
Hey, Flint, you want to be in a snowball fight with us?
Flint, what's the problem?
I've never actually been in a snowball fight.
Really?
I don't even know the rules. Is there like a point system or is it to the death?
No. You've never... I mean, look, even Steve is throwing chocolate snowballs. Oh.
So, like, this?
No.
Harder than that.
Oh.
Snowball! Snowball, snowball, snowball! Snowball! Snowball!
Well, something to be said for enthusiasm.
Snowball! Huh? Snowball! Snowball and snowball!
All scream for Flint Lockwood's latest tasty townwide treat with flurries of frozen fun on what the mayor declared to be an ice cream snow day. He'd also like to invite everyone in the world to catch a cruise liner and come on down this Saturday for the grand opening of Chew and Swallow, a town that is truly a la mode.
Is that, I know you said you're not a big dessert person, right?
I like dessert. I do. Okay. I like it very much, and there's parts of desserts that I really love, like ice cream.
Yeah.
But then there's certain things like cheesecake or carrot cake that it's just, I can't get behind them.
So let's forget all the possible contamination stuff aside.
Okay.
If you walked outside and like there was a snowfall, like there's a mound of snow.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw like a giant scoop of ice cream.
Covered in like rainbow sprinkles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm into it. Let's go.
Yeah, and I like in this clip that, you know, Bill Hader wasn't cool growing up and he was always picked on, and the kids are like, you want to have a snowball fight? And they're throwing, I guess, ice cream snowballs at one another, but it's just, Bill Hader is just awesome in this role. He's just, I mean, he was always one of my favorite SNL characters, and now with that show, Barry, and then, oh God, why am I blanking on the documentary Now? Have you ever seen any of those with him and Fred Armisen?
I've seen a few. Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah. There's even one that they do a you know, mockumentary kind of version of Iro Dreams of Sushi, and I forget, it's the rice one,
which I love the documentary.
Oh, that's a great documentary. We're probably gonna, we haven't covered any documentaries, and I wasn't sure if we will, but I think the ones that just like supersede into like larger, like that mass audiences know, like that and Super Size Me.
Yeah, that
like,
I've seen.
Like those
There's a documentary, actually. It's also really interesting about Sriracha and how its production affected the town, because the town started having like issues with their eyes because all those fumes were getting everywhere.
That's crazy.
It's pretty zany. Yeah.
It's like they're all being pepper sprayed.
Essentially, people were like waking up and they were trying to figure out like, what is causing this? And everyone looked at the like Sriracha factory and was like, oh. It's them, but we love them. So it's right. They eventually got it all taken care of.
But like I said, in like your worries of this world where food would just be falling from the sky, the mayor, like they see this opportunity, and the mayor, again played by Bruce Campbell, is just greedy and wants to create this food tourism.
Of course.
And he renames the town to Chew and Swallow.
Okay.
Very weird.
Such a bad name.
Yeah. But they're having all these, they send across, you know, messages all to the world, and they're like, oh, come on ferries and come, and this is, of course, when the big disaster's happening, they have this spaghetti tornado, and he throws a giant radish at the machine to make, and it stops working, and he's like, what did you order right before? And he's like, a Vegas-style buffet.
Oh,
so that must
God.
Be what you're, when you're thinking of all those different things falling.
That's
and,
it.
But that's just, I love that they show New York is getting hit by, like, big bagels.
Of course. And France, I think, was got baguettes.
Yeah.
If and, I remember correctly.
And then the Great Wall of China, like, first a fortune cookie hits, and it's like, oh, you're about to be, you know, crushed by a giant egg roll.
Oh, God. I'm not going to lie. If I went outside and it was raining dumplings, like, just delicious pork and chive dumplings, I would die.
Do you have a favorite dumpling spot?
Oh, my God. Yes, I do. It's on the corner of Elgin and Broome. And it's been my favorite dumpling spot since I was, like, 17, 18.
Oh, it's been
And then
for a
all
while.
Of Instagram found it, and now it's, like, there.
Uh-huh.
And I love it. It's everything. It's called it's called Shanghai Fuzhou. It's amazing. It's 11 dumplings for $3, 7 dumplings for $2. And then I also love Junkin' Dumpling in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. Yeah, there's a lot of good dumpling spots.
Have you been to Vanessa's Dumplings?
I have. I think they're great.
Okay. I was not sure.
I like their fried dumplings more than their steamed, because the skin's a little thicker than I want it to be, but they are delicious because their fillings are really good. I mean, even a bad dumpling is probably still a good dumpling. I just love dumplings. Yeah.
Were there any other things about this film that you enjoyed, just as far as from characters to just
I loved the fact that, like, you know, I suck with remembering everyone's names, but the lead guy, the scientist, and the anchor, they both kept trying really, really hard to please everyone else but themselves and be people that they weren't. And then finally, by the end of the movie, they get to be themselves and kind of get comfortable in their skin.
Yeah.
Just as everybody's about starting to get uncomfortable because things are falling out of the sky. So it's kind of nice to see them come into their own. And I feel like a lot of the times with animated movies, it feels like it's almost always a damsel in distress.
Sure.
So it was nice to see a guy in distress and a girl in distress. It was nice to, you know, because I feel like for kids,
just people.
It's always the princess in distress. It's nice to see just, you know, regular folks in distress over food falling from the sky. And so that was pretty neat. I like that they were able to cover a wide variety of topics that are applicable to both, like, children and adults without getting too dark or too, like, in over its head. Because sometimes I feel like when movies try to dance around things that are both entertaining to both children and adults, they'll usually gear it to one more and kind of missed the mark. And I feel like this movie did a really good job.
Yeah, balance it well.
Being able to balance it. So I liked that. Visually, it's stunning. Like, it's so colorful and beautiful and well done.
Well, that's honestly why when I was just like, oh, would you want to cover Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, because it reminded me of your Instagram. You just, you capture amazing photos.
Thank you.
They're just a variety and just so vibrant and colorful that it just reminded me of this film. So
I could see that. And it is a really good film. And I mean, the cast is amazing. I love Bruce Campbell. I love everyone there.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris does the voice of a
Mr.
monkey.
T.
So, yeah.
Who doesn't love Mr. T?
I love that, like,
I pity the fool who doesn't like Mr.
Yeah,
T.
I always read, like, the trivia on IMDb, and there's two, so the, at one point, the cop, you know, his character takes off his police cap, and he has the reverse, you know, Mr. T is famous for his mohawk.
Of course.
He has the reverse, that it's just, like, the empty space, and it's the ring around.
Yeah.
And then also, towards the end, when he's, like, carrying, they're making all these ships out of food to get away from the avalanche of Mount Leftover, and he's running holding it with his like kid and wife on top, and there's all of a sudden this giant nacho that's gonna block him, but he runs through it and it's just a giant
so
T cut out of the nacho.
I
love that they're just, you know,
I like that they put, it's almost like Easter eggs that they like had in films, which is cute.
I wish Mr. T was in more. I want him to be in a chef movie.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine him just like.
I would love to see
like,
him just throw down.
Yeah.
Have a Food Network show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like that in Israel, it was called It's Raining Falafel.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And in Turkey,
I love falafels.
It's Raining Kofta.
Ooh.
Like so instead of raining with a chance of...
That's awesome. So I wonder, like, in Japan, would have been, like, raining with a chance of takoyaki? Because that's kind of, like...
I guess they opted to keep it cloudy with a chance
Maybe
of meatballs.
Maybe in France, it could have been cloudy with a chance of escargot.
Yeah.
I feel like this really kind of lent itself to a lot of different things.
Yeah, foodie fans, write to us and write on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, wherever you can reach us and give us some, you know... Tell some countries, or even, you know, make it fun if you've got a food of the region of the, you know, in the states that you're from. So, I mean, I'm from North Jersey, it's raining, or cloudy with a chance of Taylor ham, egg, and cheese, you know.
I'm from Astoria, so cloudy with a chance of gyros.
Ooh.
Not gyro, you guys,
gyros.
Yeah. Or cloudy with a chance of deep fried mac and cheese balls, because
those are just,
you know,
your heaven.
Yeah, I love mac and cheese, it's great.
Check out Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs if you haven't seen it. I think I watched it on Amazon. Anything else you want to say about this film?
No, that's it. No. I think it's a great film. This has been really fun. I'm having a ball.
She likes her puns. All right, are you ready for the famous food scene segment?
I am absolutely ready.
All right, I wrote it beforehand. I kept them in my pocket for safekeeping. All right.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yes. Okay. Now, if you could just select one of those pieces of paper.
So you have a bunch of little folded pieces of paper,
so
in your hand.
One of them.
I'm selecting my favorite.
And let's see if you can read my sloppy handwriting.
Double stack slice, Saturday Night Fever.
Ooh, we are in New York, so that's kind of pretty appropriate.
Right.
Let's you know, that's not, I know it's not, that's not like a long scene in the sense of audio, because it's just pretty much the what Stayin' Alive is playing or whatever.
Right.
But let's play a little bit of it and then we'll talk about it.
All right, perfect. Sounds good.
Right. Hiya, Tony. Two and three.
Two, give me two. That's good.
So, a brief but yet poignant scene. I mean, he's just, that goes on for that whole song of Stayin' Alive and Bee Gees throughout that whole film. But, I mean, it's John Travolta strutting. I've done one food scene with him before, the $5 shake scene from Pulp Fiction. But this is him in, like, 1978, 79, strutting his stuff down the city streets. And she asks him how many slices. He says two. And... you know, that was audio, but for those that of you that haven't seen Saturday Night Fever, he takes the two pieces and puts them on top of one another.
So weird.
What are your thoughts on those?
I mean, I guess it could have been worse, right? Like, he could have tried to eat them with, like, a knife and a fork, which is such a no-no. But I don't know. I mean, have I sat down or walked around and eaten two slices of pizzas? Absolutely. Stack them on top of each other, it kind of feels wrong. I'm a one slice at a time kind of girl. Uh-huh. But, you know, by the same token, it's pretty genius. Like, he's clearly, you know, he wants to strut. He might be short on time to go and do things on Saturday night before he comes down with a fever. So bad. That maybe, you know, for him it was just about, you know, trying to catch that train before Fast Track shut it down. And he was just like, crap, I want to eat these two pizzas.
He's wearing the red shirt in case he gets marinara.
Exactly. And he just, you know, he's eating two slices of pizza with one hand. I got to give it to him. Smart. I'm personally a one slice at a time kind of girl.
Do you do the fold?
It's weird. Sometimes I do the fold.
If it's got too much give or something.
If it feels really, like, greasy. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to lie, as I've gotten older, if a pizza's super, super greasy, I'm talking, like, you are dripping, like, oil. Yeah, I'm going to take a napkin. We're going to do some absorbing. I'm just at that point in my life. But if it's, like, kind of greasy and I'm keeping the grease, yeah, I'm folding it. If that cheese is, like, super melty.
Sure.
If it's a flatter slice and maybe it's got some pepperoni and some toppings that I don't feel like I want to, you know, ruin the visual aesthetic, then sometimes I'll just eat it straight. But yeah, I think it depends on the type of pizza. Yeah. I would say I'm a 50-50 person. Sometimes I fold, sometimes I don't. But I tell you what I don't do. I do not eat pizza with a fork and a knife. That is wrong. That goes against everything I believe in.
Oh,
unless it's like a crazy, maybe it's like a crazy deep dish. And you're
but
at
that's
a
not pizza
and
to
you're
me,
at a like
that's
a like... and you're like at a gala and maybe you really need to try to be fancy. But I don't know, man.
Pizza's I think it surpasses.
I do love deep dish pizza.
Then that to me just becomes more of like, I mean, I know.
I mean,
you know,
it's
we
a pie.
Say pizza pie. Yeah, exactly.
It's a real pie.
I mean, people say, you know, pizza pie because it's, you know, but like that becomes, that's a pie. So that is fine, I think, if you fork
to be honest, I don't really like pie unless you're like chocolate icebox pie or cookie pie.
Not a pie person.
But those like fruity pies, not my thing. So every pie day I usually celebrate with pizza. So there's that.
Good to know. Do you have a favorite pizza topping?
Cheese.
Oh.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Mac and cheese. Okay, fine. I like pepperoni cups. The crispy pepperoni cups.
Like the little
like
ones.
Prince
that get...
Street Pizza.
Ooh.
So good. And then Lions, Tigers. That place just opened up recently on 23rd Street. It's Detroit style pizza. Holy cow, it is so good. It is my favorite new pizza place in Manhattan.
Awesome.
But yeah, I would say somewhere between, actually Champion Pizza has a pizza where they put mac and cheese and pepperoni on it.
That just sounds like the perfect place for you.
It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. It's a very thin, crispy crust, supports the heavier topping. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're at our last segment of the show, this is called Gut Instincts.
Woo-hoo!
And so you just, as the title explains, just whatever, you know, comes first when I ask these questions, just go, you know, go with that
All
gut
right.
instinct.
Here we go.
All right. Favorite fast food?
Ooh. First thing that popped into my head was McDonald's, but then, like, Taco Bell was like, me. Between Taco Bell and McDonald's, can I tie them?
Sure.
All right. They're tied.
What from
item?
Each place would you, you know, you're going to...
So McDonald's, I actually really love their grilled chicken ranch snack wraps. And I love their Oreo McFlurries.
There you go.
For Taco Bell, I like the crunchy gordita wrap things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make something where it's so freaking simple. It's just a tortilla shell. They melt cheese on it and they roll it up. And they charge you $1 for it. And I'm here for it because it's so good and cheesy. And Taco Bell was something that I didn't like for years. But my husband got me into Taco Bell. And sometimes, like, if we're driving somewhere and we pull over on the side of the highway and I see it, I want it.
There you go.
Yep.
go-to beer and or cocktail. I know you love beer, so you can go beer and cocktail. Or
beers. Favorites. I'm a stout porter girl. Mm-hmm. I love Russian Imperial stouts. I love bourbon barrel-aged stouts. Some of my favorite stouts are probably... For me, like, Guinness, it's like a dry Irish stout. For me, that was the gateway into my love of dark beers. So it's got a big spot in my heart. I love stouts by Southern Tier. I love stouts by, everyone. Duke Law has some really good stouts and porters. I mentioned Southern Tier already. Founders has some really good stouts and porters. Backwoods Bastard is my favorite from them. Mm. Dogfish Head has Worldwide Stout, which is I believe it's 16 or 17% ABV. It's got like cocoa nibs in it. It might also be bourbon barrel aged. It's really good. Blue Point has a bourbon barrel aged sour cherry one that I love. This could keep on going, so I'm just going to end it here. But shout out to Duke Law's Sweet Baby Jesus. It's a peanut butter porter that will change your life.
Check it out.
Yep. Oh, and shout out to Big Alice and Rockaway. All my Queens breweries, Iconic. Love you guys.
I love Big Alice. Yes. They have this jalapeno rye there that's bonkers.
I've had it. It's not bad, but jalapenos are weird to me. I like their date night. Date Night Bro is I think it's either a stout or a brown. I don't remember, but it's meant to channel the flavors of a glazed donut and a coffee. So this is like a breakfast beer.
Long Island City, Queens in general, but mm-hmm. Long Island City just has like so many great breweries right there too.
And they're all like walking distance from one another. Transmitter's really good.
Need to get like a brewery... Like, you know, tour going on.
I've done it.
Jump from place.
Actually, I did it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Around my birthday.
Perfect.
It's like birthday beer crawl.
Favorite childhood snack?
Oh, boy. First thing that actually popped in my head were empanadas. But my grandmother made some banging empanadas. And her bacalaitos were really good, which are like fried codfish critter things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say empanadas. As a child, I loved empanadas.
Nice.
Yeah. And anything with cheese.
Sweet or savory, I think.
Savory.
Yeah, savory.
100%.
Favorite food city, domestic and or international?
Ooh, this is so hard. France has really good food. Germany has really good food. Dublin had great food. Greece. I was disappointed by Greece's octopus.
Oh.
But I wasn't disappointed by anything else there. Food was bomb. Favorites. Oh, you know, I might actually have to go with Germany on this one.
Wow.
The currywurst was just amazing.
In Berlin, or just specific?
In Berlin. And there was like a weird like hookah bar / restaurant that till this day I had the best chopped up lamb in the center of hummus that I've ever had in my diet. Like, it was the best hummus and the best crunchy lamb hummus I've ever had.
They have a very large Turkish community there.
Yeah.
And the donor kebabs there are like...
Yes, the donor, everything. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go with Germany as one of my favorites, but it's hard to pick.
Anywhere in the States. You live in New York.
Okay. So not including New York
not
because
including
I live
New York.
Here.
Yeah.
I'd have to say San Diego / LA because anyone that puts French fries in a burrito is A-okay by me. Yep. I'm here for it.
Favorite cuisine?
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm sorry. They're not easy.
Latin.
Yeah.
Sushi, which is Japanese, obviously. Korean barbecue. All of them. Anything that's not really too vegetarian-y. But I've had some good vegetarian food, too. And I also like Indian food now. My favorite cuisine is all of it.
Just a fusion of all.
And rainbow sprinkles. That's a cuisine, right? Totally.
Guilty pleasure food. Could be those things from Taco Bell.
I mean, I talked a lot about mac and cheese, so I hate to beat a dead horse, but that is my guilty pleasure food. But food that I like that makes me feel guilty because my Instagram audience would probably be like, really?
Sure, yeah.
I love Chopped, damn it. It's in my IG stories all the time. I love their salads. Freshest arugula I've ever had. Their chimichurri ranch is really good. I'm not sponsored. They are not paying me. I love Chopped salads, damn it. So that's probably my guilty pleasure because it makes me feel guilty because everyone just wants me to have, like, you know, freaking clogged aortas.
Yeah.
Because they just
this
want
is a first.
Me to eat
the
sexy
guilty
food.
Is something.
But I like salads sometimes.
Yeah. Favorite condiment?
Oh, Okay, I'm going to try to say them all in one breath. Ranch sauce, mayo, malt vinegar, ketchup, Cholula. Yeah, all of them. I am such a sauce whore. I love, oh God, honey mustard's good. Greeny brown mustard's good. Dijon's good. Anything that's not too spicy.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you my least favorite condiment.
Sure.
You know when you go to, like, movie theaters and they have those movie theater nachos with that gross, like, yellow, gloopy cheese that tastes like dirt? That is my least favorite condiment. Dirt cheese. That's gross.
That is just, when you get, like, the pretzel nuggets that are stale and you're supposed to,
And I'll eat the nuggets. It's fine, you know. Whatever. Yeah. But that cheese is just gross. I hate it.
Well, we actually kind of talked about this in the beginning, so I know the next question is last thing you ate. So let's go with what did you eat before the cheeseburger and the ice cream?
For lunch today, I had a salad
from Chopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For breakfast, I had 4 glasses of green tea.
Oh.
Yesterday's lunch, I had dumplings and shrimp shumai.
All right. What would be your last meal?
Wow, that's hard.
You have to, you know what, I'm going to start like saying to people, you can pick an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. Okay. I feel like that will probably help.
Yeah, okay.
Or you could say, I don't want a dessert, I want two on, if you'd like to, but I want to get 3-course meal.
Okay, 3-course meal.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right, so appetizer, I'm going to go with a really, really good burrata. And sometimes burrata gets served with prosciutto. So we're going to have it served with prosciutto. Or some sort of beef carpaccio or something with like the burrata ball in the center. The entree is going to be lobster mac and cheese.
Whoa.
We're so going there.
The chunkiest of the chunk.
But like, I also want a steak attached to that. So this is one of those places.
Well, that could be your side.
It's a steak with a side. All right. So I'm going to get a side of lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And then I want, like, a really nice, medium rare, more pink than not, like, filet. We could either go with, like, a filet mignon, or we could go with, like, a porterhouse, and I could just see how much of it I can eat. And then for dessert, I would like a classic birthday cake. Vanilla frosting, covered in rainbow sprinkles, nice golden fluffy cake with lots of rainbow sprinkles inside. And when you cut it, the sprinkles fall out from the center because it's one of those weird cakes. And there's some ice cream on top. And got candy sticking out of it. I'm going to go hard or go home.
It's a cake that reveals that you love cake.
Yes. And inside the cake, there's is like a steak. No, I'm
kidding. I know you
don't. There's my second steak. Yeah.
I know you said you don't like pies, but I recently learned when we did an episode of the movie Waitress that there's this thing called a pie-cake-in, which is a cake.
It is.
With a pie in it.
I actually saw Waitress. Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was an Instagram event. I went to a restaurant for dinner, and then they took us to see Waitress. I'm not really a Broadway person, but I've got to be honest with you. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I always
Have you seen the film?
I have not. Yeah. No, but I want to.
It's,
I feel like I always say I'm not a Broadway person, and then I go see a Broadway show, and I walk out, and I'm like, I loved it!
Yeah.
So,
well, if you love the show...
I'm a closet Broadway person.
I believe... I think I watched it on Netflix. Netflix or Amazon, so if you have one or the other.
I have both, so I'm going to
Carrie Russell, if you're a fan.
Sweet. I love Felicity.
There you go. Yeah. So check it out. And check out that episode I told you I spoke with. That was Lisi and Perla of Midnight Market.
Awesome. Very cool.
So, yeah. Do you prefer to, it kind of goes with your Instagram that you're eating out at a lot of restaurants. Do you like to cook at home or do you like to go
out? I absolutely love to cook at home.
Okay,
I do.
Great.
I never feel like I have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my fridge is usually full of leftovers. So when I probably do have time, I open up my fridge and go, oh, look, leftover steak. I'm going to eat you now because you're here and I don't like to waste food. Which is something that definitely happens in the Instagram world. I try to box everything up. I either bring it home, either I'll eat it, my husband will eat it, or if I see someone in the street, you know, who clearly could use, you know, a good meal, like here. I'd probably cook more often if I didn't have leftovers I wanted to save, but I do enjoy cooking. And it's also nice to be able to, like, really control what I'm eating. Because, you know, you go to restaurants and you can't eat at all because you don't know how sometimes, like, you know, if they've got, like, 5 sticks of butter in it or something. So it's nice to be able to, like, kind of control it, control your flavors and stuff.
Yeah, when we were, you know, having the cheeseburgers earlier, I did ask you that, like, what, you know, like, there's just, and you said, like, you know people and you yourself have been to multiple events in a night. Like, that's, like, it definitely has to be, like, a level of portion control.
Oh, of course,
I mean, you have this awesome... You know,
I almost always try to bring a plus one and we'll share the things. I try really hard to not eat a lot of bread. So if I get a burger, I'll take one or two composed bites so that I know what experience the chef is trying to transpire.
Yeah.
And then I know what bread tastes like. I'm just going to eat the meat because that's what's important. I need protein. But yeah, you know, it's a lot of portion control, trying to remain active, whether that's like through exercise or, you know, sometimes I'll just get off an earlier train stop and walk further home. You know, just you have to find ways to you know, maintain healthy, but also live quality of life. You know, I can't be that girl that just eats salads for 3 meals a day because I would miss things.
Of course, yeah. Is it taboo to like ask to take something like your part of your plate home with you at these events?
Nah. I personally don't think so. I mean, it's easier if you're like at a restaurant, you're doing more of a one-on-one experience.
Sure. Yeah.
At an event. If I see like a lot of food is going to waste, I have had events that are close to City Hall and I will bag it up and I will walk out over with like 6-7 bags and I will be like, you know, I was hungry because, you know, place like City Hall is like very community focused. So it's like, there's a lot of people there and they're all hungry. But yeah, you know, if it's something that I think that can really be salvaged and travel back, I'll do my best. If it's something that's like ice cream, you know, you're not going to do well. I'm just going to throw you out. But so, yeah, you know, me and the people that I hang out with, you know, we definitely do the best that we can to not throw out food and to not perpetuate waste, to not over order if we can't do it. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of just being smart how you order, being smart about what you order. So, yeah.
Spirit food. Now, I feel like some people then just go, I mean, you know, if it's your gut instinct, you can go with like the, you know, you love mac and cheese, but I feel like sometimes people go with like what then their favorite food is, but what do you think, what food best represents you?
Okay. So I'm half Puerto Rican, half Colombian. So I'd like to pick something that kind of is, you know, envelopment of that. And I know I mentioned this already, but I'm going to say it again. I would say empanada.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any specific it's got, empanada?
Well, I was born and raised in New York. New Yorkers have a very, like, I don't know, like, reputation. Like, we're all, like, kind of hard and mean or whatever. So, and I definitely, when I'm on the train alone, I probably have, like, bitch face because, you know, life. So I feel like empanadas are kind of, like, hard exteriors. And you're like, oh, it's kind of mysterious. I don't know what's inside. But then, like, when you get to know it, it's just, like, delicious, chewy, gooeyness inside. And it's not scary. But it looks scary in the beginning because it's, like, you know, fried. Weird. What type of empanada? I would be a mac and cheese chorizo cilantro empanada.
Oh, boy. So many pows of flavor in there.
I really thought this one through.
Yeah. I'm digging it. And now the last question. What is the greatest lesson you've learned in food?
The greatest lesson I've learned in food.
Yeah.
Be grateful for everything you have.
All right.
Because I think as a kid, there were so many times where my mom was trying to get me to eat foods that I didn't want. And I was like, I don't want it. I don't care about it. And then as I, you know, as you get older and you see people that, you know, would kill for food. And now I'm surrounded by people throwing food at me. I'm just be grateful. There's so many people out there that would kill to get, you know, to try so many foods. So just, you know, be grateful. Stay humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. This has been super fun.
Yeah. Right now, please plug away. Tell people, I mean, where they can find you on social media and just shed any kind of light you'd like into the world of you as, you know, Food Beer.
So yeah, Stephanie, you can find me at my home at Food Beer, spelled Y-E-A-H-F-O-O-D-B-E-E-R. So I kind of live there. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook, although I'm definitely more communicative via Instagram. Feel free to slide in my DMs if you have any questions, anything you want to ask, anything you're curious about. I'm very, very much an open book, and I do my best to get back to everybody. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Great. And we end every episode with a certain sign-off, and that is saying there's more to cut, something my grandmother always said. Mm-hmm. I feel like it just transcends from food into life. So if you would please honor me with saying there's more to cut.
There's more to cut.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet thing, girl.